Thank you. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Finally warm.
You're finally warm?
Yeah.
Not used to the microphone being so loud, so I got to get used to that. Well, I'm happy to be here tonight with you guys. Today's been an extremely long day for me. I'm not superstitious at all, but I checked to see if there was a full moon. Everything in my work day today that could go wrong did go wrong, so I was looking forward to coming to church tonight. It's funny because God has a way of humbling me and telling me to quit my whining. And one of my office managers, her niece, was 8 years old, was killed in a car accident this week. So she was killed in a car accident, one of my office manager's nieces, up in Corsicana. So the storms that had come through. So her name's Andrea. Keep her family in prayer. She showed up to work Tuesday. I saw her in the morning. I said, "What are you doing here?" And it was so rough for her that she just needed to get away from the tragedy in her life that she decided to come to work. And I was reminded of that today when I was having self-pity. And God saying it could be a lot worse, and there's people going through things. Get your mind off yourself, essentially. So keep Andrea and her family in prayer. And kind of the agenda for tonight, I put some things on PowerPoint. I think Eric has them up behind me. Not huge fan of topical teaching because there's a lot of jumping around in Bible verses, and it's hard to keep everybody on the same page, but going to do my best tonight. Going to talk about what the Bible says about obedience. This isn't an all-inclusive list, as you know, but some good verses up there. The second thing we're going to talk about is how Jesus was our example for obedience. Okay. The third thing we're going to talk about is the God-shaped void that's facing everybody, and how people try to fill that with drugs, alcohol, sex, whatever, you know. And have some quotes from some people in Hollywood. I don't usually like to quote them, but these are interesting quotes, which we'll talk about. I'm going to play a video from a gentleman I met in Hawaii. His name's Tim Timmons. One of my favorite people right now in life. I call it a man crush. I know that that's not appropriate, but Tim's one of my favorite people right now. And then we're going to talk about some questions. And then we're going to have a time of prayer to break up. So hopefully this will take me about 30 minutes to go through here. So looking at Bible verses about obedience, if you have your Bible, you can open up with me to 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. And I think somebody quoted this in the group me this week, this verse. I think it was, there was a lot of back and forth going on. It's the guy's text chain. And I think somebody actually quoted this. And it says, "So Samuel said, 'Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams.'" So obedience, the word here is shama, not shaman, right? Shama, to hear intelligently with implication of intention and obedience. That's what that word means. I'll repeat it. To hear intelligently with implication of attention and obedience. So really, it's to hear, it's to understand, and it's to act upon. And that's what the Lord takes great desire in. And I'm thinking about that as I'm kind of marinating in that and looking at some of these words. and I'm thinking about my own kids. They do a lot of things that brings me joy. They do a lot of things that brings me pain and angst. But one of the things I was thinking about that brings me the greatest joy is when my kids actually do what I tell them to do the first time without me having to repeat myself and just saying, "Yes, Dad."
Amen.
And that doesn't happen often. But usually you're telling them things for their best interest. And we'll get to that here in just a second. If you can turn over to 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. "Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. The word abide here is meno. It means to be held, kept, continually, to remain as one, not to become another or different. And that, I started thinking about that too. I mean, how many people are chameleons in the world, right? We go to one place, we act a certain way. We go to church, we play the Christian game. We go to work on Monday, we get irritated, we do things that we shouldn't do. Not trying to lay it on too thick. Obedience is a difficult thing to talk about. Sometimes we know what we should do, and we don't do those things. Of course, that's part of the struggle that we're facing in sanctification. But we want to be held and kept continually with the Lord. We don't want to become another or different. Okay. And we don't want to be chameleons and change to whatever we're adapting to. We want to stand firm in the Lord and stand firm with a backbone for him. And in this world, in our society, that's becoming more and more crucial, as you guys have seen. 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God," and this is interesting for me, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." The word love here is agape. You guys have heard that terminology before. Unconditional love, affection, goodwill. And I kept thinking to myself, I kept looking at this verse, because a lot of these verses you'll read over and over and over again, and you've read them before, and I kept trying to think to myself, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments? And I was thinking about it in my head, and one time, Emma, when she was a little girl, I wasn't there, but I saw the impact of her bad decision-making. She got on a treadmill when she was 3, 4, somewhere around there, and the treadmill was going. And she slipped and she fell, and it pinned her up against the wall and literally burned her skin off of her arms. And I remember her arms were so bad, I was really upset about it. Actually, Amber was worse, and I had to get this special bandaging to heal her arms. And so I can relate to this, that God loves us so much, and it's his love that we keep his commandments, because when we keep his commandments, we don't fall on the treadmill and burn our skin off. And he doesn't want that for us. He wants good things for us. He wants good godly consequences for us, the results of our actions to produce fruit to produce righteousness, other people to be saved, and he desires good things in our lives. And so as we talk about obedience, just be thinking about it's God's goodness towards you that he's telling us to do these things. It's not a dictatorship. It's a loving father wanting to see you spiritually grow. It's not always easy. He didn't promise easiness, but he wants to see spiritual growth in our lives. James 1:22-25. This one's interesting too. And we've all read it before, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. It's interesting because we all know Ephesians 2:10 where it talks about we are his workmanship, his poema, right? Pablo really talks about this quite often. The word workmanship there is poema in Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, poema, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's interesting. What do you think this word doer is very similar to that word? The word doer here is poetes. What do you think that's the root word for us? Poet. Interesting. Okay. So that word literally means a poet, one who obeys or fulfills the law. So when James is saying, but be doers, he's literally saying, you guys be poets. So we're called God's poem, but we're also called to be poets for the Lord. It's an interesting dynamic. So not only are we God's poem, his story, his love song, if you will. I don't mean to get sappy, but I mean, that's a neat concept. He wants us to be writing poems so other people can see the truth and can see the goodness of God in our actions and obedience, and that can be passed on and grown. It's really kind of interesting when you start digging into some of these words. Matthew 22:36-37. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And we've read that over and over. So as we're talking about this grow discipleship, it's not just a flavor of the month. It's not something we came up with. We've really been thinking about how can we have a revival in our church? First, here, within ourselves, to where we're having an intimate relationship with God. We're having an intimate relationship with each other. And we're loving each other like family. We're walking in obedience. And we're telling a lost and dying world about the goodness of the Lord. And people are getting saved. And unfortunately, in our country, in our society, that didn't happen much anymore. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but Tim has a blog called 10,000 Minutes. He talks about 10,000 minutes in a week. And how long are we in church for? 80 minutes, maybe?
10,000 seconds.
Nice. So he's talking about, let's do it throughout the whole week. You know, let's do it throughout the whole week, Eric. I'm ready to go to the next one if you have it up there. So Jesus is our example of obedience. And when you start reading these things, you're like, wow, I wish I could do that consistently. So Philippians 2:5-8. Try not to go too quick because I have it all here. I know there's some people turning in Bibles, so I'm trying to pause. Says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Self-explanatory verse, right? I mean, the Lord was so obedient for us, even to the point of death, and to take our sins and our punishment on himself. Romans 5:18-19. Love these verses. Therefore, as through one man's offense, of course, Adam, right? Judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many were made will be made righteous. And that's good news, obviously, for all of us. Talking about the free gift of justification, and we'll talk a little bit about justification and sanctification. But anytime you see justification, I always think about just as if I had never sinned, right? So the minute I accept the Lord and I accept the free gift, there's nothing I can do to earn that. I just accept it and I'm saved, and that's in his goodness and his grace and his mercy. We're talking about obedience, which in my opinion, and this is Sean's opinion, is the sanctification process, right? God wants to refine us. He wants to work in our lives. Any Forged in Fire fans? You watch?
Yes.
Forged in Fire? Yeah. Big Forged in Fire fans. So anybody, nobody, shake your head if you don't know what I'm talking about. Okay. Okay. Go watch Forged in Fire. It's a good analogy of sanctification. So, Forged in Fire. Yeah, I love this show. My goodness.
Great, but it's for guys only.
My wife watches it with me. Okay, so let me tell you about the show. Okay, Bridget, here we go. They have old salvaged metal. Okay, so they call in these, what are they called?
Blacksmiths.
I almost called them goldsmiths. They call in these blacksmiths, and it's a competition. And they give them certain metals to use, and usually it's like, here's a old car. Go rip off some metal and make a knife out of it. And so they start to cut off the... She's cracking me up. They start to cut off the metal, and then they heat up this metal, and it starts to glow. Then they start beating on the metal, and then they quench it. Sometimes they quench it in water. Sometimes they quench it in oil. But if they quench it at the wrong time, it becomes brittle and breaks on them, and then they're out. It's over with for them, usually. If they quench it at the right time, the steel hardens and becomes a usable device, a usable tool at that point. That's the way I look at sanctification, is I'm a mess, okay? I'm a used up vehicle that's no longer useful in my own strength and my own power. I'm expired. And God sees me, and he goes, I want to use that mess. Pulls off parts of me. Heats me up. It hurts. My molecules start moving, because that's what happens when things get heated up. And it doesn't feel good, and I'm complaining. And then what's he do after he heats me up? He starts pounding on me. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. But he knows what he's making. And he's making it perfectly in his form, in his timing. And then he quenches me. And I'm hardened in a good way, right? To be useful for his work. So when my dad died of cancer when I was 21, I was being forged in fire. When Andrea's, my colleague's niece, dies in a car wreck, she's being forged in fire. And so we have a justification aspect that we're saved, but we're also in different phases of this sanctification process as well. Unfortunately, some Christians are just sitting on the sidelines, not willing to even be used as scrap metal. Others are in the fire. Others are being used as a finished product. And we're gonna be perfect when we get to heaven. That's the end result. We're still gonna be sanctified throughout that. He's gonna mend us, he's gonna keep heating us up, he's gonna keep pounding on us. But one day we're gonna get there and it's gonna be perfect. And we're all looking forward to that. John 15, 10-11. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you. This is really crucial. Go in and pay attention. That my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Okay, let me read that last part again. That my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Huge difference between joy and happiness. Right? There's movies made about the pursuit of happiness, okay? Usually related to money or careers. I've told this story before, maybe you've heard it, but I was trying to make a smoothie one day and I was really happy. And I put it in my food processor because I don't have a blender. And I was really happy and really looking forward to a smoothie that Mike taught me how to make, and it exploded in my face. And I went from, I found it on the ceiling, I found it on the cabinets. I found it all. I don't even know if my wife was home. But it was all over. And I went from really happy to really upset really quickly. Joy is different, right? No matter what we're going through in the sanctification phase, there's still joy in the Lord because it's his joy remaining in us. And so that our joy can be full, even when life catches up with us, even when things are difficult. Even when we're going through the fire. And we really have the corner market on joy. Eric, if you want to go to the next slide, the God-shaped void. This is a huge crisis in the world. So many people struggling. We think, especially the young people, think, gosh, if I could just become rich, there goes our son. If I could just be rich and famous, I'd be happy. If I just get enough Instagram likes, I'll be happy. If I just get enough boys to tell me I'm beautiful, I'll be happy. If fill in the blanks, right? And then when they get those things, they realize it's empty. And even in my life, I thought, man, if I could climb the career ladder, which I've done, if I could make enough money, which I've done, I will have arrived. I would have arrived. And I'm telling you, even from a Christian's perspective, and you guys all know this, you all have experienced this, life without God, worthless. No point to it. Money without God, worthless. Paper. Marriage without God, worthless. Kids without the Lord, pointless. I mean, honestly, if you take God out of the equation, you're just waiting to die. You're just waiting to be let down. You're just waiting to be disappointed. So I have Jim Carrey's quotes up here, who he is not one of my favorite people for quotes, but look at his quote. I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see that it's not the answer. Okay? You have a person who's not a Christian, who's very wealthy, in Hollywood, who's had everything, saying, I'm empty, essentially, right? We all know the story of Robin Williams, very talented man, very talented actor, saying, I think the saddest people always try their hardest to make people happy because they know what it's like to feel absolutely worthless, and they don't want anyone else to feel like that. And we know the story of Robin Williams, obviously, to the point of suicide for him, unfortunately. We're all valuable in God's eyes, and there is a real struggle with depression, okay? And that's a legitimate issue in the church. We don't like to talk about it because it's kind of taboo, but there's a lot of people who struggle with depression. We need to be praying for them. And at some point, really, we've all experienced that in some way, shape, or form, okay? But these are people who have no joy at all because they're disconnected from the source of joy being Jesus Christ. Even Solomon here in Ecclesiastes 2:11, if you want a downer, go read some of those passages. Ecclesiastes 2:11, then I looked on all the work that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. So you're talking about Solomon, who had riches beyond measure, wisdom beyond measure that God had gave him, got on the wrong path with a lot of women, unfortunately, started looking for his pleasure that way, and it was empty for him. I'll repeat myself here a little bit. Life without God is unfulfilling, empty, and pointless. It will lead to dissatisfaction and deep depression and hopelessness in this life. When we walk in relationship with God in this discipleship model and doing what we were designed to do, we find true joy. It's not easy, but it will be joyful, right? There's going to be days where you're like, gosh, I just want to quit. Or, man, I want to give up. But when you're walking in relationship with God, when you're having intimate relationship in the church and you're having fellowship and you're obeying what God wants you to do, and you're evangelizing, and you find your true purpose in life is to live for other people and for the Lord, then you find your true purpose and you find the source of true joy. And we don't talk about this enough. And our country really needs it badly. You go to work, there's a lot of people putting on faces, honestly. You go to church, there's a lot of people putting on faces. A lot of people smiling, oh, I'm doing great. How many times do you answer that question, honestly? I thought about that. I hardly ever say, I'm doing awful. Thank you for asking. Anyway, I digress a little bit. So, you know, Amber and I had the chance to go to Hawaii. We went to this thing called Love Song Getaway. Gary Chapman was there. Really cool time. Mercy Me was singing worship music one morning, and you could tell they were a little bit uncomfortable with worship. They're kind of used to concerts, and this bald guy made me feel pretty good about myself for a minute. Gets up, big beard, and he starts singing this song, I Surrender. And it made me emotional, you know, like how you'll hear certain worship songs and you're like I was trying not to cry like a baby. She was oblivious to it because she was worshiping in her own way. But all these people are sitting around us, and I'm like, I do not want to, like, break down and cry like a baby because I wanted to. And I'm like, why have I never heard this song before? And I even looked on YouTube afterwards, and he's got one live clip of this that somebody recorded behind, like, a pillar, so you can't really even see him. And so afterwards, we went down to the beach, and I see him run, jump in the ocean, and I'm like, oh, there's that guy we just heard do the worship music. And I went up to get some water, and ironically, I don't like to bug people like that. I don't like to be that person. And I just happened, there was like a walkway, and I just happened to run right into him. And I said, hey, I really enjoyed that song. And I thought he was part of Mercy Me. And so I was talking to him, and he goes, no, I'm from Orange County, California. My name's Tim Timmons, and I live in Nashville. I'm my own recording artist. Talked to me for a while, and I could tell something was just different about this guy. He asked me for my name, which usually people who are that way really don't care. They just get stopped everywhere they go. And real genuine guy. And I'm like, wow, that guy's, something's just different about him. And I ran into him again in the hotel, didn't really say anything. I thought maybe he thought I was stalking him at that point. Then I ran into him at the airport a third time and started talking to him again. I'm like, hey, I looked up I Surrender. You need to record that in acoustic version. He's like, I will. And he goes, you realize I created that for like a children's song, right? And so we started talking and ended up on the plane right behind us. And Bart Miller jumped right in front of Amber. He had priority access, but he was late with his wife and jumped right in front of her as we were group six. And they were all sitting kind of in the same area. But he plays with them. He's actually on tour with them right now. But interesting story, if you want to go ahead and play that video, this is kind of his testimony. Hopefully they'll play okay. Play the Jeopardy song for Eric.
A few years ago, I was having hot flashes all the time. Some would say it was menopause, but I would not, because it's not even a word. So I went and got checked out by the doctor. I will never forget how sobering that day was. Tim, you have an incurable cancer, and you probably have 5 years to live. Everything just stops at that point. It's been 12 years now, and I'm still learning the verse that he gave me right at the very beginning. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. My story is not cancer. My story is the perspective through cancer. A daily walk saying, Jesus, what if you were real in the midst of my stuff? 3 years ago, I was journaling like a good Christian boy should do, and I just sensed that you're in the preface of the second book in the trilogy of your life. And I thought, number one, that is so stupid. I love Lord of the Rings, but I'm probably making this up. I told my wife about it, but I just kept hearing it all week. And at that point, I got emails in the next weeks from all over the country. People said, Tim, you don't know me, but God told me to tell you that you're starting a new season. Follow Jesus, and he will walk with you. Everybody said the same thing. And it's one of those things when somebody would say to you, hey, do you follow Jesus? I'd say, yes, I do. But I don't know if I've been more asking him to follow me or if I've actually been following him most of my life. I think the central theme for my wife and I in this season is trying to figure out how do we just follow Jesus as he influences his church, not the buildings, not the programs, but he's influencing his people. What would happen if the church saw ourselves as the church in the next 10,000 minutes until we met again in the name and power and the authority of Jesus? What if the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead actually lives inside of you? I mean, can you imagine what the posture of your day would be? I mean, we're just beginning this process of going, my goodness, what if it's actually true? I mean, how different would we see the calamity in our life And I think what the joy has been coming out of my story is saying, Jesus, I'm done trying to be this great guy who's making all these things happen and telling you where to go. But Jesus, where are you on the move? Where are you at in my neighborhood? Where are you at in my cancer story? I have so many friends that are going through divorces right now. Different illness, different people are dying in their stories. There's just something, there's some kind of pain and there's some kind of sorrow. We all have it. And if you're not going through it this week, wait a week. My dad always says it's coming. So what do we do? Is God actually God or is he not? Is he good or is he not? And then what's your response? What's my response to him? In this season, Jesus has commissioned me to invite the church to be beautiful, to invite believers about Jesus to become followers of Jesus through my story. So I wrote this song called Starts With Me that really is the first single on this record that's saying, instead of me saying, hey, what can I do for you, Jesus? Let's start a revival. He's just saying, Tim, I just want to be with you. I actually want to start a revival in you first. And then I'll do cool things outside. What if I'm big enough to do that? So we're saying, Jesus, lead on, I will follow. Your love stirs my soul. Take us where you want to go. Jesus, lead on. It's your revolution.
I'll wait for the last slide, Eric. Whenever you get a chance. Appreciate you doing that. You did a lot of work for me to get this ready. So, you know, I thought that that was a good example. It's been 14 years now since his cancer diagnosis. Has four tumors on his liver. He told this to somebody else I was talking to. He has, I think, four kids now. And he had said to his wife, what should we do, you know, when he gets his cancer diagnosis? And his wife goes, I want to live life normal. So they just went about life. But can you imagine how much more different life would be for you if you got a terminal diagnosis? You're given 5 years to live. He was 24 at the time, I believe. And how you'd respond to that. And so my point is, I thought his story was a good story to what I'm trying to actually articulate tonight, is that what we're trying to do with the Grow Discipleship model is God's idea in the first place. It's his joy-filled life for us. But we need to walk in our purpose, and we need to walk in revival with the Lord. And he wants to do something special in our church, and he wants to do something special in our country. But it really starts with us. And we really need to get back to the basics of that relationship with God. So I want to go ahead and go around on a few of these questions. Question one, and we'll start this way with Ethan. I always want to call you Elijah now. It was the other way around when I was teaching Ethan for so long. I was calling Elijah Ethan for the longest time. Now it's flipped on me. And these don't feel pressure. Think about these things. If you don't know, you can talk about it some more. But do you know your spiritual gifts, and are you using them? Is the first question I want to ask. Ethan, do you want me to come back to you?
No, it's fine. I feel like one of the gifts that God has given me, and that Pastor Robert's going to try and help usher me into,
it's music, right?
His worship. And I've been trying to get into that a lot more lately. And if everyone can just keep that in prayer, just for me to follow through.
A little nervous?
Yeah.
I know the feeling. Appreciate you saying that. I don't know your buddy's name here, I'm sorry.
Graydon.
Yeah, that's close to my last name, so we'll do good together.
You want me to answer number two?
Answer number one.
Number one?
Yeah.
No, I really don't know my spiritual gifts.
Okay. So. There is some, and everything there's an online test for.
Yeah.
These days, they actually make one for this, if you're curious.
Make a pod.
Okay. So, maybe something we can talk about.
Yeah.
Alex, what do you think?
I feel like my spiritual gifts are, like,
that I believe God's given me is the gift of like caring for others and just like kind of like if someone's kind of going through a hard time, whether it's in my family or someone that I, you know, encounter with, I just feel like I have that gift of like encouraging people.
You do.
Even
yeah.
if like
you encourage me all the time,
yeah.
by the way. Especially
even if
the,
they
yeah.
may have like a hard time and I may have not.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I'm having a good day and they're not, I just feel like God's given me that gift of like not only encouraging people in that, but like also the gift of like telling others like, hey, Jesus loves you and all that, and he died for you, he forgives you and all that. Like, I feel like he's given me that gift to like remind people of like his love and his grace to all of us, not just in here in this church, but every people around the world in general.
It's evangelism.
Yeah. Pablo, you want to go?
Yeah, I've been kind of praying for other gifts, not necessarily that I have them, but there's kind of a desire for some gifts. But I have the gift of teaching, and I want to evangelize more, but I don't go out of my way to do it. It's more of it kind of. Lord kind of brings people, and I kind of like it that way. It's a little bit more comfortable when, you know, the people, you know,
they're stuck with you on an airplane.
Yeah, and that's happened a lot on an airplane. I used to fly to San Antonio every other week, and there was a little, for lack of a better term, a deal that I made with the Lord that whoever I sit next to, I try to, because it's only a 15-minute flight. You know, from Love Field to San Antonio. So, but yeah, and am I using them? Yeah, I think there's some other gifts that I should use more that I don't use as much. So. She's like, yes, yes, yes.
And
God.
She's giving that smile.
Yes.
Maybe not all of them, but I really don't like that test. But are you using them? Yes. Probably could use them more. But
that's it. It's
fine. Sorry, my mom's got 4 minutes.
That's
all right.
Sorry, I
just
really like
you're right.
Just giving Bridget more time to think.
Yes, I do know what my spiritual gifts are. I don't think I'm using them as much as I used to use them. I used to use them a lot, and I just slowed down. And that could be because I'm not around a lot of people as much as I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the main reason, is just not being around people as much as I used to be able to use those gifts.
Whoever wants to go next, right behind you. On that row, I'll leave it up to you guys. It's a family affair, it looks like. So.
I do know my spiritual gifts. Sometimes I don't know, like, I guess you'd say what, like, the category is. Like, I know sometimes some things, like my artwork, sometimes has captured people's eyes, and I'm just like, oh, that's really sweet, or super encouraging how to draw it, this and that, and the other, and one time, like, I was going through a rough time, and I drew the hand of God just kind of reaching down, and a pastor at a different church had seen it. He's like, oh, that's a really cool drawing, and then later I decided to give it to him, and he was just really touched by it. He's like, nobody's doing the jar work. Like, people would just say, hey, great service, sort of thing. But it was really encouraging to him to know that he was doing a good job. I mean, I don't know if that's considered like a job or anything, but I do know I have them, and I probably should use them more often than I do, but I try and use them.
Thank you. No, it's okay. If she can go if she wants to or not.
Actually, one that I can point out for Angelina, she has a giving heart.
Yes.
She actually, you've seen her make her Loom Bam
yep.
bracelets.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
But last couple of times we went to her endocrinologist, she actually made a bag full of these.
Neuro.
That, sorry. Hippopotamus. but she made a full bag, gave them to
the ND
and the elemental people. But she, in turn, took them across the nation to where she helps other special needs kids. And these kids would grab one and be so excited to get it. But out of the kindness of her heart, she just donated, gave. So she does have a giving heart to men.
Next.
Do you know what mine are? Are we supposed to say what they are?
If it's up to you. You know, I'm trying to let Lord lead you in some of this stuff, too. It shouldn't just be...
I know mine are compassion and mercy and gift of discernment, but I dream dreams, too. And they kind of scare me sometimes, but they come true. They foretell of things. And I don't know what that's called, but something with dreams. All the time.
Yeah, prophecy is where I probably...
And I don't understand. There's a time, like, I never thought I had the gift of healing, but I know I prayed for Sarita a good couple of times, and she was instantly healed. It's never happened with anybody else, so I guess that.
Do you feel like you're using them enough? I think that's the way.
No. Some of them, no. Compassion and mercy is very deep in me. I guess that one is always being, but I think the praying and healing, no, I get scared. I just back off, I get scared. Nervous.
Appreciate it. Next row, whoever wants to go.
Yeah. You know, I know I've got different gifts, but I think the two that he's really put on my heart, one is being a servant. And I try not to do it just here at the church, but at work as well. Because I'm hoping that that's going to show my coworkers, you know, who Christ is. Another one that he's blessed me with is the ability to do devotionals, and Robert has asked me to do teaching a couple times, but you know, he guides me in that, and I really enjoy it. So do I know my spiritual gifts? Yes. Am I using them? I'm hoping that I'm using them to the ability he wants them to be used, and to encourage me or use me more to use them for him. I know there's other gifts that are in my heart. Everybody here, if you know me, it's all about protection of my family, which everybody here is. But I was not able to go through the academy for all that training. However, that would not stop me. So So I do know there are different gifts that I have. There's different desires. And I feel that I'm using them, but I'd like to use them even more. So.
I kind of agree with Mike where he says he has a servant's heart, but for one thing, I use it, you know, once a week though when I'm here, so with the time of work, I don't have a lot of extra time to do a lot of things around there, so so definitely any of the others that I feel I have, then they're not great spiritual, like strong, I guess you could say, is what I'm looking for, so it's definitely something I can maybe help pinpoint in myself and use them more in other ways when I get the chance.
Thank you.
I feel like my gift is helping people through the hard times and when they're in need. Because for some reason, whenever someone's hurting, I always feel like I have to stand by their side and I always have to make sure that they're okay no matter what. And am I using it to the best of my abilities? When I know that someone's hurting, yes. If no one tells me that, I can't do anything about it. So I feel like that's my gift in just trying to make everyone feel better and know that they're loved by God.
I would say encouragement and servitude would be, I guess, my spiritual gifts in a sense. Encouragement. Every now and then, I just know that God puts certain things to say to people to encourage them not to give up, to fight through. I have a habit of saying, you're going to come out with bumps and bruises, but don't just lay there. Get up and keep pressing forward. You may not like it, but you're being shaped when you do that. And I try to encourage them by using my past stories, my, you know, because it's always, I went through that in some form. And to me, I think when people hear that, it encourages them. If he can get through it, I can attempt to get through it, type of thing. And yes, 50%, I copied Mike's answer as servitude.
Just the answer group, yeah.
I was wondering when that was coming.
Yeah.
Brothers in Christ, brothers in military.
It's just, I like to help. If I'm able to be used, no matter where, I'm going to help. You know, and it's just always been in my heart to. If I can do it, then I'm going to. It's that sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Sacrifice of time or whatever it is that the Lord puts on my heart to help out, to do whatever. I want to do it if I can. So I would say those are my two gifts. Do I use them? Yes.
Jess?
I'm sorry.
Oh, so the other question, question one is what we're talking about right now. That's why I love that guy. He's just so honest.
Spiritual gifts would be hard to say. I'm going to say mine. Probably encouragement.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Just because, you know, life happens and everybody, you know, we all have these things that we go through and, you know, I think that's one thing that I'm able to do. I always like to joke, you know, with those old commercials with crash test dummies, you can learn a lot from a dummy. A lot of foolish things and, you know, so I can be understanding when people are going to go through things and kind of like Eric was saying, you're going to go through trials, but, you know, you got to keep your head up. And am I using them?
we can just get him to change football teams, that's all. and the next guy.
We can get you to stop like this.
Oh, I shouldn't have done it. I know. Sure.
I have a pretty good idea what my gifts are, and no, I'm not using them.
Thank you for your honesty.
Could you elaborate?
I know your gifts, bro.
You're in the right spot, Trevor. Thank you for being here.
I think you use more than you know.
Yeah.
One of them, I mean, it's not necessarily what I would call a spiritual gift, but like leading worship and music. Describes David. Other people know. The scriptures says they played skillfully before the Lord. And, you know, not like tooting my own horn. I was, you know, that's something that God's given me and that we're part of. And then I think another one would be like the word of knowledge. I'm just looking at 1 Corinthians 12, 8. Am I using them? You know, I think everybody can answer this question, like, I'm not using it to its full extent.
Right.
And but I also don't kind of like really guilt trip myself into how, like, God's giving me an opportunity that I'm going to use them in the seasons in life where I've used them more.
Yes, I know mine. Teaching, organization, service, and then recently he told me I have a gift of healing, but more healing than knowledge than like instantaneous healing. And wisdom, I use them a lot during the week, especially.
Thank you. I'm not sure. I can't see over Rick's shoulders, so I'm not sure if that's right.
He's trying to hide. He's trying to hide. What's
up? Take your baby.
No.
Baby.
She just dropped the baby so she can...
I just see the baby's head.
yes. I believe worship is one of them. And using them, yes. Yeah.
What else? You have a beautiful singing voice. She's very nice.
Yeah, I think I know.
Sorry. Scared you, Sean.
Yeah. Service, encouragement.
And singing. You sing wonderful. You and your wife.
Maybe you'll be the next one we try to get up
there. There you go.
Noticing a trend here with everybody, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How is that operating in our household? How is that operating in our jobs? How is that operating at school? But, like, what are we
relationship with the Lord, grow in our relationship with each other, and that's producing a service to one another here. And are we allowing those gifts to flow to one another as a body, like unified together? So I feel like I'm thinking more along those lines, like what, like yeah, I might have this gift or that gift or that gift, but am I just operating like as a Christian, or am I operating as a member of this body right here, you know? So I don't think that, you know, like I do that as much as I should. I'm going to follow line with everyone else on that, but I think that trying to do things differently and kind of revamp and like go back to basics and kind of like ask these personal questions and be able to talk to one another and know each other a little bit more in this kind of setting puts us in a place where we're aware of the need, or we're aware of the gifts that are available to us, and be able to connect with one another, you know? You know, like, you know, just an easy one, you know, Sherry says that she has dreams, or like somebody says, Bridget has the gift of interpretation, so like, if I know those things about you guys, and I'm intimate with you guys like that, then I come to you, and those gifts are actually in operation within us. So this is a good setting to say, you know, this is what my gift is, or this, you know, to be bold and say, I think I have these gifts, so that, you know, I'm aware. You're a part of my body. I should be aware of what you can operate in, so that I can you know, grow in my relationship with you, but also with the Lord through that. So yes, I do know my gifts. I do use them, but I feel like more importantly, like I would like them to grow more, like with you guys. Like this is where I call my church home. This is where I want to be connected. So am I using that more with you guys? Is kind of the focus for like what I'm thinking about just in this particular part of being obedient, not just obedient in my service to the church, but like am I being obedient in my service to the Lord through connecting as the part of the body of Christ.
Sean.
That was the short answer.
That was the short answer, trust me.
I've taken a lot of spiritual gift assessments and they usually center around evangelism and teaching. And I was attending a church at another denomination, and I spoke to my pastor about it, and he says there is no gift of evangelism. So,
you're in the right spot.
I don't know about all that, but I do find I have boldness, and I seize every opportunity to spread the gospel and want to do more. There's probably not a person who speaks more than 5 words a day to me at work that I haven't prayed for or mentioned Jesus to, trying to start conversations. The teaching part, also with the people at work and maybe with Stacy on occasion, I can take difficult concepts and break them down to understandable bites, I guess you would say, and I can simplify things for understanding. So I think those assessments are roughly accurate. I have a strong desire to reach the Lord for Christ.
That's good. Go ahead.
I think one of my spiritual gifts is compassion. In the line of work that I'm in, there's so many ways I could point it out, but specifically working with the children, the youth of today, and there's so many opportunities to reach out because they're sponges and to just try to get them in the right direction. You know, my particular position, I can't necessarily be religious, but you don't have to be to try to get them to make good choices and to try to follow the right path. And that's my job on a daily basis. So I use them all the time, and I reference a lot situations that I've had in myself and how I've looked to God for help, and it helps me kind of get these kids, because they're going through just all kinds of stuff, and just helping lead them in the right path, in the right direction.
She has a passion for the homeless.
Yeah, and the homeless.
So is Bridget.
I know, we talk.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking we need a sock drive.
Huh?
We need to do a sock drive.
Yeah, okay, you tell me.
Use my gifts, it's funny like to hear all you guys say things. One, I'm dying to teach right now because all you guys, you know, like all these scriptures are coming to my mind. But I'll wait till Sunday and next Wednesday. I don't want to steal any thunder from you. But great questions. the Lord told me this week, he said, hey, you haven't prayed in tongues in a while, to get to tongues. So, like, this week I got on my knees, had a really, really good time of prayer, and I've been praying more in tongues this week. I just feel like it's been, you know, rehashed, and so it's, you know, sometimes you have a gift, and I don't know the last time I prayed in tongues, so. And when the opportunity arises and the Lord prompts, we should act upon it. So
we're all in the same boat, right? So, go ahead.
And yours?
Yeah, I'm going to answer.
Okay.
That's what I'm doing right now. You got to give me a little bit, a second here.
You have to give us so. One second too slow.
Yeah. You know, I feel like I have the gift of encouragement. I have a passion for, I enjoy seeing people who are struggling in life turn to the Lord and fall in love with God. That brings joy to me, to point out just how loving the Lord is, how gracious he is, how he deserves our best, and I fail miserably at it. And I'm thankful that he's a gracious, good father. I love evangelism. I don't do it enough. I've been trying to do it more at work. I'm kind of trying to get to that point because you guys know I work in healthcare, and there's a lot of sick people coming in. There's a lot of sick people all around us. We don't even, we just miss it sometimes. And trying to pray more with people at work. Prayed with a guy who I worked with before. His name was Russ. His name is Russ. He almost was because he had a heart attack and almost died. But you know, just things like that, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow in these people's lives. And so I've been street witnessing before. I've been in intense situations where I've enjoyed it, but I haven't necessarily sought that out like I should. I get tired in my own mind. I make excuses. I'm like, I'm busy at work. I just want to go take a nap or whatever else. And thankfully God's gracious with me, but that's where I'm trying to grow personally. So I'm going to open it up for these other questions because we don't have enough time to go around like we did, but whoever wants to chime in, do you consider, and if you, you know, you want to answer these on your own and turn them in, that's great. I can send you the PowerPoint as well, but we really enjoy getting this feedback. Do you consider yourself part of the church, not just as a member, but as a servant? Anybody care to respond to that question out loud?
Not just here at church, it's at work also. The one place I probably do need to be more of a servant is to my wife, you know, only because I say that because she works different hours than me. So when she comes home at night, she's tired. She's had to deal with different people, you know, and so if I can serve in the church and help you guys out, and I can go home, go to work and help them out, so they're having a good day, then I should be able to do the same for my wife. So, yeah, I do consider myself part of the church as a servant, but I can also grow as a servant in my own family as well. So.
Thank you.
Are you asking this body?
Yes.
Okay.
And if you want me to send this to you, I can. And you can send it back to us. Question 4, I'd really like. What was that, Mike?
I said I think a lot of people are taking the pictures so they can answer them later.
I would love some feedback here. Where do you feel there's a lack of obedience in our church?
I would say just following
quick.
Bridget and Ethan, you guys need to be in the... No.
Whose kid are you?
Go ahead.
This is like for me especially, like just following the Lord's calling, what he's telling you to do quickly, and just to be obedient, because like for me the worship thing, like I've been thinking and praying about this a lot, but I hadn't taken any action on it. And so I feel like in this church we have could be in different forms of ministry, but we just are reluctant to take that leap of faith and actually partake in the ministry that the Lord is calling us to, and we just kind of sit back and expect others or wait for others to do that, but the Lord will be calling you to step into that position and benefit the church in that way.
Appreciate that response. Takes guts. Any other feedback? Jeopardy. Cue the Jeopardy music.
I feel like there's a bit of lack of obedience and practical application as far as, you know, like caring for the widow and, you know, saving those who are being led to slaughter, you know, just like the practical weekly, daily application of those, what people are about social justice type things, but are really just evidences of loving others. And I know we're small, and sometimes that can be a detriment to people, but, you know, I often think about, like, a group of four people made it illegal to sell children to temples in the entire country of India, you know, just by obedience. And so, like, I don't feel that those are things that are specific callings to any one person. I feel like it's the body of Christ together. God tells all of us to work.
Without religion, it's,
yeah.
It's
you know, loving justice and mercy and, you know, Micah. So, like, just how to apply what we know spiritually, practically.
Thank you.
One of the things I was thinking of is like the scripture that says to obey is better than sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes we confuse the two and we sacrifice a lot, but to the detriment of just direct obedience to God. Like, and it can come in various forms. Sacrifice a lot for the ministry, but we're not really obeying what God's like calling us here to call us to scale back or just like speak up in a certain scenario or situation. I'm pointing three fingers back at me too, so when I say
we
that,
we usually are.
What?
I said we usually are. I was agreeing with it. Yeah.
But just that. Each of us individually we have a duty to obedience to God, and then corporately.
I'd love to keep going with the conversation. It's almost 8:30. If you guys need to go ahead and pick up your kids and go. I'll close in prayer here, but I'd like to break up in the prayer groups if you want to stick around and pray. Yeah, 5-10 minutes. If you could pray for the building, a lot of work going on. Unfortunately, a lot of rain, which has kind of slowed down some progress. The fence posts are going up. Maybe you've seen that. Maybe you haven't. They're getting close to putting the new fence up, starting to tear down the window wood around the windows and putting some new pressure treated. Water treated, whatever you say that, you know, it's the interesting wood that's pressure treated wood, with some smart siding, which won't rot over it. If you go look at this window right at the very end, they've started to put some of that on there. So pray for the building, revival in us personally, in our church, in our country. And then if you could, you know, take requests amongst yourselves, but please keep Andrea, her family, in your prayers for sure. She's going through a real hard time. So let's go ahead and take 5-10 minutes. We'll pray together, and then we'll dismiss. So I'm going to go ahead and close in prayer, and then we'll break up. Father, we just come before you tonight, Lord, and we're thankful for this time. God, we're thankful for these Wednesday night times of intimacy, Lord, opening up, speaking freely. Lord, we're not always going to agree on everything, and that's all right, Lord. We're going to butt heads sometimes. That's okay, Lord. I pray personally for offense in the church, Lord. I know it's a huge, huge issue. It's been a huge issue in our church, quite frankly. It's been a huge issue in the country, Lord. And in our country, it's so easy just to jump from fishbowl to fishbowl to fishbowl till we hear what we want to hear and get the things we think we ought to get, or the leadership we think we should have, Lord. And I just pray, God, that you would take offense out of our church, Lord, that we would freely speak to each other, God, that we would go to one another when we're offended with each other, Lord, that we would deal with root cause issues immediately, God, and that we would see each other's perspective in the eyes of love and grace and mercy and kindness and goodness, Lord, and that we would grow together and move as one body moves in unison, Lord, for your glory and for your good pleasure, Lord. That's what we're made for. And I just pray for this time of prayer and fellowship that we would grow closer together as a group, and bless the rest of our night. In Jesus' name, amen.